When I was growing up, I always thought that the threat of acid rain would be a far bigger one. In fact, we lived in a place where it might have never even happened, but I heard about it and I thought just the concept of it is horrifying, right? I remember hearing about it in The Simpsons as well. Years ago, in fact. A lot of years ago. My God, I'm getting old. Welcome back to the Meatweed Podcast. If you're new here from the YouTube channel, I know a lot of people came from the YouTube channel. Hello, welcome. This is my podcast. It'll be every 2 weeks. It used to be every week, but now it's every 2 weeks and it's an hour long. And for the podcast listeners, if you guys don't know, wow. Here's the difference between the podcast and the YouTube channel. When I stutter, I leave it in. A YouTube video that I posted got a lot of attention and I'm happy about it. I'm pretty happy about it. 18,000 views as of recording. Apparently it's still going up and I'm getting more subscribers, which is great. I love that. You know, I've been making content for years and I guess it's finally paying off. Anyway, let's talk about the actual topic at hand. Acid rain. What happened? When did it stop? Is it still going? And what the hell was it? Anyway. Recently, a big storm hit near where I live, and it caused a lot of rain and a lot of debris to come out of the sky. It was kind of crazy, right? I was actually at work, right? And if you guys don't know, I work outside. So when we were outside, we had not only a downpour, which is a heavy amount of rain very suddenly, we had thunder hitting just several hundred feet away from us. It was absolutely insane. I've never seen thunder hit the ground and actually splash. Like thunder hitting the fucking ground. I don't know. I've never seen it before. The other day was the first time I've seen it, and it was insane, right? But after I got out of there, first off, we had to cancel work for the day. After I got out of there and I was somewhere safe, my first thought was, hey, wait a minute. Acid rain. No, okay. Actually, it was a lot more complicated than that. I wanted to simplify it, but basically, to summarize acid rain, it's literally just that. When it rains acid. Basically, what happens is there's a lot of stuff in the sky. I'm summarizing as much as I can. Just for the sake of it, right? If you've never heard of acid rain, basically it's when the sky is polluted enough with a very specific type of pollutant where to the point where it actually congeals and rains down as acid, and it causes a lot of damage. At least it used to, right? But I've never even heard it mentioned anymore, right? At least not where I live, but it used to be a legitimate threat. The sky used to be significantly dirtier, basically. From what I've been doing, some research pulls up that it hasn't rained acid since the 2000s, basically. 2000. And what the hell was that? Because that is not natural, right? For it to rain acid is entirely man-made. So that's fucking terrifying to me. But let's actually look into what actually causes that. Okay, so I pulled up a reliable source. At least it used to be. I don't know how you feel about government websites, but this is from a government website, the EPA. What is acid rain? Acid rain, or acid deposition, is a broad term that includes any form of precipitation with acidic components, such as sulfuric or nitric acid, that fall to the ground from the atmosphere in wet or dry forms. I did not know there was dry acid rain. This can include rain, snow, fog, hail, or even dust that is acidic. What causes it? A whole lot of shit. Hang on, let me read this. Okay, there's a lot of stuff here, but there's an interesting fact here. Rain... Regular rain, not acid rain, but regular rain, is slightly more acidic than distilled water, which is probably not surprising to a lot of you. You probably think, oh yeah, of course there's acidity in the rain, right? It has to do with the atmosphere and this and that. Well, shut up. This is my podcast. Anyway, the acid rain that we once heard of is actually from burning of certain fuels, which would, you know, of course, smokestacks goes into the air. It's not as common anymore because we have a lot of measures in place, like, I believe, catalytic converters, which would absolutely... Is that the word? Catalytic converters? What's that shit that people steal out of cars? I think it's that, right? Anyway, when those were introduced, burning of fuels in a car was no longer as bad because it was no longer smoke going into the air, you know? That's why the exhaust in your car, you turn it on, you don't see any exhaust, right? Unless there's something wrong with your engine, in which case, if this is a wake-up call to you, if you turn on your car and a little bit of black smoke came out of the back, take it to the shop. I'm sorry. I'm saying that because on my way home from work, I saw somebody whose exhaust was just making a lot of smoke, right? It was a diesel truck. They were revving real hard, right? What was it called? Coal rolling? On the highway? Are you fucking nuts? Like, I get in the back roads, sure. Hell yeah, have fun, brother. But on the highway? Come on. There was a highway patrol right there, too. Or a state trooper, if you will. He didn't even get pulled over. I'm pretty sure they have bigger fish to fry. Especially right now, with the current stuff going on in the U.S. I don't want to get into it. But basically, those emissions from that truck would have contributed to an acid rain. Of course, the thing is, obviously a little car is not going to do much. Let alone like thousands, right? Back then, this was in the 70s, right? I'm giving you rough numbers, right? Because I don't want people to go, oh, actually it was this time, it was actually that time. Shut up. Basically, around the 70s, they started realizing, hey, all this acid rain that we're getting and is destroying crops and is killing wildlife is actually caused by these power plants emitting far too much pollution into the air. And immediately, there was some backlash because, of course, there is. It's, you know, you mess with a big company's profits, they're going to be all mad about it. And they're going to take your ass down in any way possible, right? So this was going back and forth for over a decade with more and more evidence mounting to the point where they finally said, okay, fine, you're right. We fucking did it. We're polluting into the air. And it's really bad. We don't care. We're making money. But because it's a big company and a lot of people work there, right? When you think of big companies polluting the earth and shit, you got to think about why they're doing it, right? There's a lot of jobs there. Yeah, obviously a billionaire is making money, but at the same time, there's little people making money there too. You know, jobs. So obviously you can't just close down the plant. These are energy plants for the most part. You hear snapping, it's my bones. I'm snapping my fingers. The whole issue there, right, was, okay, how are we going to satisfy both parties? Because obviously you can't just shut them down. We need that. We need what they're making. It was a lot of stuff too, right? Like a lot of types of plants, energy plants, nuclear plants, processing plants, all kind of stuff being shot into the air. Like if you've been past any plant, any processing plant of any kind, you see these giant smokestacks, right? They're still there. In the modern day, they're still there. However, in the 80s, they decided, let's modify them to a certain extent so that these harsh chemicals that end up in the air will be stopped at the smokestack. There's these things called scrubbers in the smokestacks that actually capture a majority of these harsh chemicals that go in the air. Basically, not all harsh chemicals, obviously, right? Some of them still get passed. However, it did a majority of the work in the smokestack because there was no longer acid rain afterwards. The pH, whatever would increase the pH, was captured there, then and there. And it was a very big victory for the environmentalists, right? Which is huge because obviously it's not just the fucking animals in the forests dying because of some acid rain, right? There are people getting legitimately hurt from this stuff because it's high acid or high, high pH or low? Low pH, there we go. Low pH water damages you over time, right? And it's not a minor thing either, right? You want to think of the level of acidity that the acid rain was. It was just slightly above battery acid, okay? Slightly above, as in battery acid is the one that you don't want. You want to avoid that level of low pH. The lower the pH number, the worse the acid. So imagine fucking basically watered down battery acid falling down from the sky. The Simpsons showed this in one of their episodes where one of the guys said, uh-oh, acid rain again, and he put on a gas mask and his clothes melted off, right? It's only kind of an exaggeration. There were a lot of things that got damaged with acid rain. It's not a small thing. So I'm actually glad that we no longer see it. But the fact that it got to the point where the sky itself was raining acid, it's kind of, it gives you an idea of how fucking awful the pollution was back then. Nowadays, our air is a lot cleaner, right? In fact, I got some good news the other day. The ozone layer is essentially in full recovery at this point. There was a hole in the ozone years ago, and I remember hearing about it, right? I think 2010, around there. And it was forming in, I don't remember if it's the North or South Pole, one of those, right? But basically, this hole in the ozone causes the sun to hit the earth with full force, right? There's nothing holding it back, basically. I keep seeing that stupid gram where it's a picture of the earth with like three lines hitting it. I'm so sick of that graph. It doesn't make any sense. Whoever made that, obviously it was way back then. Maybe editing was harder back then. Do something better, dude. Like he's ever going to hear this. Anyway, you've heard of the hole in the ozone, right? That was caused by certain chemicals that were in, some of them were found in hairsprays of all things. The chemical was called CFCs. I remember that now. It's a long ass name, damn. Chlorofluorocarbon. Oh, fuck! Chlorofluorocarbons. There we go. Oh my goodness. The CFCs were actually found in hairsprays from the 70s to the 80s. And what's funny, right, is my mom used to use that. It's crazy thinking about it, right? How in the past we would have this one chemical. Obviously, it was like a byproduct. They didn't realize what was going on. You know, like a lot of the stuff that happened back then was basically, what's the word? Trial and error. You got to understand, the 70s and 80s, no one gave a damn about the environment. They really did not. They would basically tear up the environment if it made them more money. I'm serious. Like, they were ruthless back then. And I'm glad things have changed, honestly. Do you think things are bad now? They were worse back then, right? And here's the thing. Here, let me put my phone down. I was reading the article, but let me tell you guys right now. If you guys are worried about the environment and all the stuff that has happened, seriously, nature heals. Give it time. Nature heals. Laws get passed and everything gets a little better, right? That's the good thing about Earth. Earth is never going to just rot and disappear. It's always going to thrive, right? And a lot of the times we are going to see problems that come up. And when they get brought up, there's going to be two things that happen, right? One, there's going to be people with legitimate concerns that are bringing it up and pointing at it saying, hey, this is happening as a result of this. Somebody stop it. And then there's someone making money off of the pain going, hey, how about we delay it a little further? Eventually, both parties are satisfied with an end result. It always happens. It's always happened. It will continue to happen. It's always going to happen. I'm serious. Every single time there's been an environmental hazard, there's been people that are, you know, affected by it. And there's been people that benefit from it. And then both of them eventually reach a compromise when a law is passed that satisfies both parties. This is the hard part about living on Earth in general. You can't please everybody, okay? You can't please everybody. You want to try to be a neutral party your entire life? Good luck. You will stand for nothing. Me, personally, I just try not to get involved. At this point, I'm just like, I'm bringing up what is. I'm not bringing up my opinions. I'm not bringing up nothing, right? So anyway, acid rain is dealt with. Acid rain is no more. However, there are parts of the world where it still happens. Apparently, some parts of India still have acid rain. I never knew about that. And that's what I've heard, right? Upon all this research, they're saying that it's like that in India. Recently, there was a big celebration in India, and it caused the air to get extremely polluted. I saw a TikTok recently of a man who had this machine, right? It was basically measuring pollutants in the environment and in the ozone. Not the ozone. What was it? In the air, basically, right? It reads how dirty the air is. And in his apartment, it was at 150, which is the norm. He brought it outside. That thing shot up to 999. That's as high as it can go. That machine only goes that high. I guarantee it would have been much higher. Holy shit. That's insane, right? That's absolutely insane. But at the same time, what's in those fireworks? You know, that's what I'm really wondering. Like, yeah, you can have the air dirty for a bit, right? But at the same time, what's in the actual, like, gunpowder and all the stuff that's actually being set off? Because it's all, like I said before, sometimes it's trial and error. We don't know what happens with some of the chemical stuff that we have, right? There are some people that do. Granted, they're not exactly the ones making the executive decisions to sell whatever, okay? If I sound really nerdy, trust me, I've been in big companies before. I've seen how it works, you know? I've been around them enough to know that one person will make a decision, and then in an office in a completely different state, they'll call in and go, actually, we need this. And then it's some sort of weird byproduct that happens as a physical reaction. You see how nerdy it sounds, right? But that tells you that I've been through this before. I've seen it where it gets to the point where, okay, here's an example. I've seen a physical reaction because I at some point was working with some sort of byproduct of a... I'm really trying to skip around what I did, right? I don't want to be too specific, right? But it was processing of fruits. And the fruits would have their juices removed. And what I was in charge of was getting rid of the byproduct, which was just a bunch of garbage. But guess what? It makes a hell of an animal feed until you let it sit out for a while. And it turns out it carbonates. Interesting, I know. And in small quantities, you could see it. Like if you leave a piece of fruit to rot in, let's say, a jar, something with a jar open, right? Obviously, it's going to be disgusting. It's going to be a lot of bugs on it. That's one thing, right? Another thing that's going to happen is the juices react to the environment in a certain way. They'll either coagulate, they'll acidify, or they'll carbonize in some way. I've never seen it on a scale where there was thousands of pounds of it, but that was a hell of a day at work. That was awesome. That was actually kind of cool. I got to a point where I thought, okay, fine, let me do a little test. I put it in a glass bottle. I left it closed. After 3 days, I opened the bottle exploded. And I thought, oh, unique. Now, if you go back and listen to everything I just said, you'll realize I never specified any company or where I worked or anything like that, right? But just know that I've had hands-on experience with certain things like this, right? Wow, that was very vague. I know one person's probably like, just tell us! Dude, it's internet anonymity. You gotta take your internet life seriously, okay? That's why I'm really careful with what I post online. I know a lot of people seem to have very little regard for that. If you're young and listening, you have to understand one thing. Whatever you post online as a teenager will bite you in the ass as an adult. Thankfully, growing up, you know, I did some pretty stupid things as a teenager. Everyone does, right? I never recorded it and put it online. But I've seen people that do it, and then all of a sudden, their scholarships are gone, or they can't go into a school they want, or they get, you know, booted from a job, and it sucks. It really does. But at the same time, you need to take some accountability, okay? You are not immune to the consequences of your actions, no matter how. If you think you got away with it, you did not. It just didn't happen yet. What the hell am I saying? Also, if you're still living with your parents, your mom told you to take the chicken out of the freezer a while ago. Go do that. Hey, that worked on me back in the day. It's going to work on someone else. Environments. Look, let's talk about acid rain a little more before I move on from the topic. The truth is, acid rain is no longer a threat. We should be fine from it. But at the same time, there are some parts of the world where regulations and pollution are regulated in a different way, right? However, if they are... You know what? Before I move on from that, that sounds like something I can't just gloss over. Let me make sure that I'm not being misled. Remember what I said online. Remember what I said in a previous video, right? Cross-check your references, okay? If you're looking at one article, look at multiple to make sure they all say the same thing. Wow, that burp was nasty. Unless they all say the exact same thing, in which case it's a copy-paste, and it seems to be a really big issue now. Also, just do your research properly. Proper research, okay? I think the best one is peer-reviewed studies, but some of those are behind a paywall. It's kind of annoying. I've done that before where I'm studying something. It'll be like a breakdown, like a 10, what is it? 10 reasons this, 10 reasons that, and it's a peer-reviewed study. You get to reason number 3, reason number 4 through 10 are a fucking paywall. Like, come on, man. Okay, after quick research, I can verify that, yes, there is still acid rain happening in India. However, it's not the only country that has that. Okay, I'm just using them as a reference point. You know what? Now that I think about it, let's make sure we check other countries too, because apparently acid rain in India has been reported every year. It's not as big of a deal. I guess at this point they're kind of used to it. At this point, if you're not outside during acid rain, you should be fine, and mostly it just washes off of you anyway. Like, it wouldn't be a problem for you unless you're like laying down in a puddle of it, right? But out there, the main problem is that it increases the acidity in the soil, and that's the problem there. So it can affect, you know, farmers and also the wildlife and a lot of other stuff. But let's make sure that we're looking at, you know what? Hang on. Let me check something. When was the last time it rained acid in India? April of 2025, according to Google's AI review, which I don't trust. I really don't trust. Okay. You know what? Let's look at another source, because I don't trust that. Okay. Yeah. According to multiple Indian news reports. Yes. The last one was in April 12th. Specifically. Having said that, despite the fact that India had the most recent acid rain, the United States is actually the most likely to be affected by acid rain. For a number of reasons, really. Mostly due to the fact that there's just still a lot of industry going on here, and a lot of smaller towns that, you know, they might try to skirt regulations just because, oh, no one's going to see us out here. Look, if you've been to Middle America, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are some towns in the middle of nowhere, literally nowhere, far away from the highways, where you could do pretty much anything. And yes, unfortunately, there are some bad players. You know, there's always going to be someone who's going to be like, hey, I've got all this money. I want to make this company, but I want to cut as many corners as possible. We're all the way out here. I doubt anyone's going to see us. There's always going to be that, right? There's always going to be... I mean, I've heard stories about it, too. Like, A lot of people on, I'm not going to say it as a credible source, okay? Take it with a grain of salt. A lot of people on Reddit have talked about how many people, you know, violate small white laws in like little towns in the United States. Mostly OSHA related, but also environmental issues do tend to play a big role. The further you are away from other big cities and towns, the more likely you are to get away with stuff just based on the fact that you're basically off the radar. You know, like a lot of shit can happen in small towns where it's like, okay, this turns out this company was pouring crude oil into the fucking the ground, and now the groundwater is contaminated. And guess what? All these people are affected. I've heard a story similar to that, but I can't quite remember what town it was or where it was at. Do you guys remember Flint, Michigan? Oh shit, whatever happened to that? Dude, I just remembered Flint, Michigan. What happened to their groundwater? Hang on, let me check. Okay, really quick, I did see that it's now under control per the EPA standards, but at the same time, damn. Seriously, how did I not remember that? Like, the entire time I was sitting here thinking about all these environmental disasters, and then I thought, wait, what happened to Michigan, right? Like, it was a huge deal back when it first came out. What was it, 2014? And yeah, it's been some time. Sure, it's been, what, 11 years? I'm old. I'm old, dude. I'm not even joking. I'm hearing that and I'm like, wait. You want to know how old? It happened 11 years ago. I was in college. Oh, God. Wait, was I? Hang on. How? No, I was in high school. Okay. I thought I was... Dude, I brain fart, a huge brain fart. I forgot to mention something earlier in the podcast. This is coming out on Halloween. I just realized. So happy Halloween to everyone who celebrates. This year I'll be giving out candy, and I'm really excited about that. This is the first year I have a place where I can actually do that. I'm excited about that. I'm actually really excited. My parents' place, they don't really do that, mainly because the neighborhood they're in is just no one celebrates Halloween. Oh, fuck. No one goes door to door is what I'm saying. We just had dinner, sorry. Anyway, let's talk about something Halloween related, I guess. You know what? I do have a story. Okay, so kind of scary, right? This has nothing to do with acid rain. We already touched on that topic, and I feel like we've talked about it ad nauseum at this point, right? Sure, the topic was about acid rain, but it's Halloween. So in the spirit of the season, why don't I tell a ghost story? A really good one. Getting comfortable. Hang on. I love this story because it's creepy and true. If this gets the attention... what am I saying? Okay, first off, before I talk about the story, there's a YouTube video that I uploaded, and it's just called Answering All Your Questions. It's a 20-second video. Go on my YouTube channel. I'll link it in the description. Go on my YouTube channel. Ask me any question. Any question at all in the YouTube comments. Go ahead and do that, and you're not limited to one question. You can ask as much as you like. So, ghost story time. I hit the mic. This story takes place around the time my little brother, who is almost 18, by the way, he was a baby, right? Couldn't talk yet at this time. This didn't involve me. It involved my parents, who were helping out a homeless person that they saw outside of their local grocery store. It's a small town. So it was surprising that there was a homeless person there to begin with, because everyone in this town knows each other, right? So this homeless person is a very mysterious character, right? Mainly because, first off, in this town, there really are no homeless. Like, absolutely nowhere, there are no homeless. So this person comes out of nowhere, and he's not asking for anything. He's just kind of sitting outside of the grocery store, and my parents took notice of him. Being the absolute saints that they are, they go inside the store, and in this store, they sell hot food as well. My parents decided, let's do something nice, you know? They decided to give the man a warm meal and some money. Not a lot of money, but, you know, something. And the person was very grateful for everything that they did. And the surprising thing to them still was that, where did he come from? Because this town is really in the middle of nowhere, right? You can't walk to this place. And my parents, out of curiosity, knew this. You know, they noticed this. They thought, hey, there's nothing around here for miles. How did you get here? And the man kindly was telling them his circumstances. Basically, everything that happened to let him getting there. He was just down on his luck. And, you know, he'd lost his home. Unfortunately, you know, he had no kids, no wife. very lonesome person. He's out on his own, out in this little town. And my parents, giving him food and money, ask him, basically straight up, so where are you staying exactly? And here is where the interesting part happens. He says, there's a farm outside of this town. And my parents know it. They've driven by it a few times. But the thing that they know is no one owns the place. It's been abandoned for years. It's far out of town. Pretty far, actually. But they know that they know where it's at. And he says straight up, we go there and... Or I go there. And I just sleep in the on the floor. I don't... You know, it's an abandoned house. It's an abandoned farm place. But the thing is, how did he get there? You know, like, it's a long walk from the spot. So he walked all the way over there. But the thing is, my parents, again, were telling them straight up, we hope you get back on your feet soon. And we're sorry about everything that happened. And the next day, my parents, again, feeling sorry for the man, no longer see him outside of the grocery store. So they decide, again, let's get some hot food and some money, and let's go give it to him. We know where the house is. As they're driving, it's nothing too out of the ordinary, right? It's a bright sunny day. Until they get to the place, they drive up to the house. It's an abandoned farmhouse in the middle of nowhere, and my little brother at this point is a baby, right? He's been asleep peacefully the whole time, and they get to the farmhouse. My parents, as soon as they park, they're about to open the door, and my little brother wakes up and begins screaming. Absolutely screaming his head off as he looks in the building, and he points at it screaming. Again, the baby can't talk, right? But he knows something's wrong. My parents, of course, are very superstitious, and they have that belief that most other parents do where children can see things or babies can see things before they can talk that other people cannot see, you know? Like apparitions, spirits, and stuff of the like. But my little brother absolutely refused to get out of his chair, because at this point they had opened the doors, and my little brother again screaming and crying. At this point they're completely alone in this abandoned farmhouse where they supposedly believe a man is inside that building. However, my little brother screams even louder as they approach the building. At this point my dad was walking towards it, and my little brother screamed louder. Basically, you know, my dad already knows, okay, something's wrong. Maybe he sees something that we don't. However, my parents, of course, being the saints that they are, decided we'll leave the hot food here. This is as far as we go. I don't know what's going on in there, but we know that we shouldn't enter this building. And it's creepy to me, right? It's creepy. It's fucking terrifying, the image. My parents decide we'll leave the food here. We'll leave the money there. You know, and they say a prayer because, you know, they're religious. My little brother stops crying at this point, but is in tears. My parents are now inside the car. My mother, I remember, comforts my little brother. They were telling me this, right? They told me this after they got back. But what happened afterwards was my dad did a U-turn. He started driving off. And in the mirror, he didn't know what he sees, right? But it wasn't one person. It was not one person. Okay? I remember them asking around town afterwards, right? Basically, everyone's saying, why the fuck would you go to the farmhouse? That farmhouse has been abandoned for years. The previous owner committed suicide in the building. And it's just been a haunting thing. And no one can afford this farmhouse. Or not even that. No one wants to buy it. Something is wrong with this place. Whatever my little brother saw that day, He doesn't remember, obviously. He was a little baby at the time. But what my parents remember is they never saw the homeless person again. This is a small town where everyone knows each other. So when I think about the story, I think, what happened there, you know? But again, a lot of people have the superstition that babies can see things that we can't, you know? They'll sometimes laugh at the random corner of a room and freaks the fuck out of parents, right? Which that happened. And That's something I think about, too. My little brother, as a baby. One time, my mom walked in, and he was just staring at the corner of the room, laughing and reaching out at something that wasn't there. There was literally nothing in this corner of the room. And my mom just had chills up her spine. And I think about it to this day, because I don't know what was in that building. But whatever it was, my little brother saw it clear as day and he locked eyes with something. Whatever it was. Whatever it was, you know? But the following day, or at this point it had been a few days, my parents drove by the house, didn't stop in it this time, but at this point my little brother was with them as well. He was getting uneasy. All he did was look at the farmhouse and the food was gone. And that's, I don't know, just, God, it creeps me out so much thinking about it, right? Because my parents told me about it after it happened, and they were like, you were never going to believe what happened. Like, I think about it, and it's just, to this day, we still reminisce about, hey, remember that old farmhouse? At this point, no one has still bought it, right? No one's bought the house. If anything, more farmhouses have gone up for sale. I think it was demolished. That's one story, okay? So let's talk about more, okay? You know, Halloween, spooky. This one has to do with a story that I heard. It's kind of one of a friend kind of things. So take it with a grain of salt. I actually don't, I can't verify this story, but I know an uncle told it. Not friend of a friend. It was an uncle, a distant uncle. He was telling me about this trip that he was on. North of, Northern California. I forget the road, but it was a not so busy highway. Somebody was hitchhiking, and my uncle had an uneasy feeling, right? It was this lady, long black hair, out in the middle of nowhere with her thumb up. Not even thumb up, right? She was just out walking in the middle of the road. And my uncle looked over and, while driving, just kind of noticed, took notice of the person, and just kept driving. You know, she was like, he was thinking, oh, I hope she gets to where she's going, or I hope nothing happens, right? The motherfucker looked in the rearview mirror, and this lady, for a split second, was in the back seat. And he tells me, he fucking screamed, looked again, and she was gone. And that gets me, because I kind of know the road, right? Up north, there's a lot of weird stuff in Northern California. You hear stories about, like, the Bigfoot and stuff. Weird apparitions that happen on the side of the road. But the fact that my uncle himself was like, that bitch was right there in the middle of the seat. Swear to God. Fucking hair parted down the middle, everything. Pale, white face, black eyes. And damn, dude. Fuck, imagine that. He almost swerved off the road, but then he checked again. She was gone. Again, my family's religious, so of course he said a prayer. Even I would. You know, I'm not the most religious person, but I thank God if nothing happened to me. So, these two are, wow, I'm remembering a lot of them now, right? We used to tell ghost stories all the time, because in that small town, weird stuff happened. A lot. I'm not going to mention the town, but it was very small. Very small. And I think about other stuff that happened. Now that I'm mentioning them, the ghost stories, I'm remembering one that I went through. Okay, this wasn't a ghost story per se, but it was very uneasy. It was very unsettling. In this town, there tends to be a lot of abandoned houses. People, for whatever reason, lose funding, pack up everything and just leave, right? One tiny house, not too far from where my grandma lived, caught our attention one day. And when I say this is a small house, I mean tiny, right? This is more akin to a garage. But one in a very unusual spot, right? It's almost as if the rest of the building had fully vanished, and there was only this one big room with a bathtub and a bunch of other stuff. Here's what got my attention, right? Because we were kids at the time. I remember this. We were kids. It was me, my brother, and some cousins. We all decided, okay, do you guys want to go check out that house? You know, fuck it. What else is there to do? At this time, yeah, we had, like, video games and stuff, but it wasn't as fun as going out and exploring. Sometimes we just, you know, we were kids. We liked to go out and do stuff. Now, when I tell you what we found in there was unsettling is an understatement. We decided to, first off, the back door, which, surprising for such a small building, there was a back door and it was fully blocked off. The other door was fully broken down, and we decided, okay, let's peek in there. And my cousin and my brothers were like, hey, let's go, because they were older. They said, hey, let's go first, let's make sure there's nothing bad in there, like some guy or something. And they peeked in and they both walked out and they said, you guys are not gonna believe this. And we thought, what's happening, what's wrong with it? They said, well, there's nothing scary. Wink, 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 okay? We walked in and it was full of dolls. There was nothing in there. There was no carpet. The floor at this point was just dirt. There was a single bathtub and it was full of dolls. That's it. Just a bunch of dolls. Very old, rotting and decaying building. All kinds of, like, obviously there was, like, animals and stuff that were in there shitting on the ground and whatever. But why were there so many dolls in a small abandoned house with nothing but a bathtub and a back door? What the fuck was that about, you know? Now, I'm reminded of the Island of the Dolls when I see something like that. And I can only guess as to what exactly was going on. Me and my family, we had this bad habit of going into abandoned houses, right? Like, that stopped when we were adults. Don't get me wrong. We can do it now. There's a lot of abandoned houses out here, or out there, in that town. But trust me, I do not want to do that. I do not want to do that. However, it blows my mind thinking about all the stuff that we saw as kids, all the haunted stuff that, as adults, yeah, we could probably answer more rationally, but as kids, you really do think there's something here, you know, there's something unusual. That's one of those stories that I think about, and I think there's no rational explanation for a fucking tiny building with a bathtub full of dolls. What the hell was that, you know? Like, some creepy shit was in there. None of us dare touch the dolls, by the way. That's something that we learned. Don't ever, like, if you're in an abandoned place, you leave footprints and that's it. We didn't have cameras or anything either. Go figure, right? Also, my older cousin's old house when he lived in the town, was haunted as hell, to say the least. Regularly, we would be sleeping over because we loved him, right? We loved hanging out with him. He had just moved to the town because he used to live in a far bigger city up north. Up north? Down south. L.A. But I think about the times that we were in his house. He would, like, at this point, he'd finally gotten a camcorder, kind of those old ones with a really janky SD card. It only had, like, 1 gigabyte of memory. Super small, right? But I remember him recording the room, and we looked at it, and they had those little white orbs floating around everywhere, which, as adults, we know are just, like, particles of dust, right? They reflect light. But as kids, we were like, oh my god, it's like orbs of, like, light and energy, and we learned about all this stuff online. Because at the time, the internet was young, right? We were Googling this stuff, and we found paranormal apparitions. We were all fucking into it. We were fucking into it, man. It's so funny. It's funny thinking about it, but also, that house had unusual vibes. Like, the thing about that house was, it was tiny, but not really. I don't know. There's something about where it was at. No walkway, no driveway, no nothing, right? Just dirt in front of the house and the house itself. It was all right. It was nice being there as kids. As adults, we found years later that house, which they moved out of years ago, became one of the worst meth houses ever. By that, I mean police raided the building and they arrested everyone inside and they found millions of dollars of meth. So that's an interesting tidbit about that. That's not haunted, but that's just sad, really. It's kind of sad. There was also the time... Do I tell this story? Fuck. Every Mexican believes in La Llorona, right? If you don't know who that is, it's the Weeping Woman. La Llorona is the Weeping Woman. It's a woman who's famous in Mexican folklore because this woman... There's a lot of stories, right? There's a lot of different stories about it. But the most recognized one is basically the woman drowned her children and is now cursed by God to forever walk the land looking for her children. And of course, when she went back to where she drowned them, they were no longer there. And she's famous for saying mis hijos while wandering around. This is a woman who is long dead and yet still walks the earth, crying out for her lost children, which she killed, right? You hear, mis hijos. It's supposed to be a ghostly apparition, right? Most Mexicans believe that if you're near a body of water at night and you hear that lady, you fucking run. I'm not even joking, because she's probably after you, you know? A spirit that's gone mad because she's looking for her children, which she can never find. That's kind of the curse that she has. If she's immortal, I don't know. There's, like, no ways to get rid of her, basically. It's one of the scariest stories in Mexican folklore because... realistically, it gets down to this. Don't hang out near bodies of water at night. I don't know if you know this, but most Mexicans can't really swim. Like, so obviously the idea there is, like, if you can't hang out near a body of water, don't be too close to the water. Otherwise, La Llorona will get you, you know? The idea is, if someone drowns in the river, La Llorona got her. You know, she grabbed them, put their head under the water till the bubble stop. It's terrifying. It's fucking terrifying. There's a lot of stories and movies that have been made of this woman. They all have different interpretations of the story, but basically the one that I grew up with was she killed her children and is now forced to look for them, and if you're by the water, she'll get you too. And what's funny too is, out here, in this small town, there are so many like canals, not even rivers, you know, not natural sources of water, but canals, just artificial water sources where people swear by it that they'll see her every now and then. They won't hear her calling out. They'll just see her standing in the distance, hair in front of her face, clothes soaking wet. Obviously, this woman has been dead for a long time, but, you know, they're like, all right, time to go home, you know? And I don't have any specific stories about this encounter, but someone I know does, right? Someone who I'm related to decided to basically not attack, but confront the woman. Because there was a story going on in a small village in Mexico, and she was sick of it. She was like, you know what? Fuck it. And she gets up, and she starts going out. At this point, it's the middle of the night, so they say, you're not supposed to go out in the streets. And this person who I know decides, hey, come on out, woman. Come on. Let's go. Calling her out. Calling out this ghostly apparition that has been in Mexican folklore for years. And of course, nothing happens. Of course, nothing happens, right? This is why I didn't want to tell the story, because it's not that scary. But it's funny to think about someone deciding, you know, fucking let's go fight a ghost barehanded. Fuck it. Why not? That is such a badass thing for someone to do. Now, this next one is scary for all the right reasons, right? Whew. I don't like talking about this one because I've never seen it before, but I know people who have. There's rumors and there's ancient legend. Not even ancient, okay? I mean, I guess ancient, if you really think about the whole story about it. Basically, there's these stories that truck drivers talk about. They talk about this black dog. And this black dog, it's like a wolf, right? It's a wolf. It's jet black. It's all by itself. And just looking at it and just seeing it is, you need to sleep soon. That is the universe or some spiritual entity letting you know it's time to go to bed right fucking now. It's not going to attack you. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to bark at you. It's just going to stare at you. It's a jet black dog staring at you. But what it means when you see it is that you've been awake for so long. Like, the reason it's associated with truckers is because most of them will work really long hours, right? And if it gets to the point where you see them, it's time to go to bed. Or it's time to take a nap. Or it's time to pull over on the side of the road. Because what that means is at some point, your eyes are going to close. And you're either going to wake up in hell, in heaven, or park in a parked truck, right? What I'm saying is, when you see the dog, that's how you know you need to rest. It's interesting because a lot of people have this exact same image, right? What scares me about it is that why are there so many similar accounts of this exact same apparition, right? And people have talked about it ad nauseum. You can look at it online too, where it's basically the black dog, you know, like that's it. And it's basically exactly what I'm saying. The person who I talked to about it told me that he was in Texas, driving through Texas. Texas is fucking huge, right? So, of course, when the sun starts going down and he sees a black dog, he says, this shift has gone on long enough. This was an owner-op that I talked to, right? Years ago in, I forget what state I was in. It has to be Texas, right? I was driving through Texas and I remember talking to him. I'm trying to remember where, though, in Texas, right? I don't think it was a Buc-ee's. I think it was a Pilot. Sometimes, when I was over the road, I was talking to a lot of truck drivers, right? A lot of them tell me some scary shit, and I've been through some scary shit myself over the road. There's a lot of stuff you see that no one will ever believe you. Like, I swear to God, I drove through a wormhole or something. I wish I was kidding. That was scary, right? Like, I was driving in the desert. You know what? That's a good one. I was driving in the desert in Arizona. I had been driving for hours. At this point, there's literally nothing on the left side of the road, on the right side of the road. Just a straight shot down all the way to, I think it was Phoenix that I was going to. But there's no one else on the road but me. At this point, I look at my clock. And it is one in the evening, right? It's not too late, right? But within the blink of an eye, I'm staring down at the road. I blink. And again, there's still a long stretch of road. I look at the clock. It is now 3 p.m. I somehow jumped 2 hours. And the craziest part for me is at some point, I started going over a slight hill. I go down. There's a whole city right there. I did not recall the last 2 hours of me driving. I even told a friend of mine, he said, that's a type of fatigue. I forget the word, but what you experienced was a time jump because of fatigue, right? But for me, it felt so surreal looking at my clock again and snapping back into reality going, I just drove for 2 hours without seeing any of it at all. He's behind you. I got you. Okay. Spooky stuff usually puts people on edge. Anyway, there's a lot of stories that I could talk about. Now that I think about it, there's one that I obviously should have started with, right? How about we talk about the last one? Fuck. It's pretty bad. It's bad because I promised people I would go back, but I've lost funding. So much funding. I do not have the money to travel. There is a place. It's called Skinwalker Ranch. Don't know if you ever heard of it. There's a whole documentary about it, right? I slept there by accident. Let me explain. There's a truck stop outside of the place, okay? And I slept close enough to the point where the locals were saying, make sure your windows are closed, damn it. Make sure your windows are closed. Make sure your doors are locked. Make sure all the blinds are closed, right? Now, obviously, that's what you do at a truck stop, right? Keep in mind, I was driving a truck around the States at the time. So that's where I was sleeping. So the thing is, I was basically sleeping outside. Of course, I had no idea there was skinwalkers at this place. I just thought it was, hey, a nice little truck stop. Why is no one stopping here? Little did I know, right? Little did I know. The whole reason that the truck stop had so many truck spots is because no one wanted to fucking sleep there because they all knew the local legend. The local legend being Skinwalker Ranch. The place with some unknown, mythic, ancient being that just walks around and just kills the fuck out of things. I mean, like, really. The legends of Skinwalker Ranch, you need to look it up. Holy shit, there's an entire documentary about it. There's a whole bunch of, like, stories that go around, people talking about how they heard someone talking, and it was the exact same sentence over and over again, but it was further away, so it would lure them out into the woods, or lure them out into an open plain, somewhere further away from where they were safe, right? It's terrifying to think that there's something out there that can mimic human speech so well that it lures people out. And the worst part about it is a skinwalker, or I forget, there's like a whole bunch of names for it, skinwalker, wendigo, a lot of them get mixed. I do believe a skinwalker is the one that looks like someone else, right? That looks like someone familiar, someone who's just a bit off. Maybe their face isn't moving, or they're not talking right, they're not blinking, stuff like that, right? Or they're not breathing. I've heard of that one. That one's terrifying. Someone just smiling out in the bush. And someone looks over and they're like, do you need help? And he's just smiling from a distance. And he's like, you haven't moved an inch. You know, an inhuman level of stillness. And you turn away, you look back at them, they're suddenly gone. It was a cold day in Utah. It was a cold day in Utah. It's just north of Salt Lake City. I remember that place. I remember the weirdness, right? When I was, okay, at this point I was at the truck stop. And I had gone into the truck stop, completely blissfully unaware about everything going on. Unaware where I was at, but I knew I'm sleeping here for the night. So I got my food, I got my shower. People were surprised I was going to stay there. Someone was like, you got anywhere else to go? And I'm like, nah, I'm just staying here for the night, going to shut down. And someone just goes, damn, here? I had no idea what they were talking about, right? And this whole time, no one told me anything. And I guess it's for my own good. Because apparently the more you talk about skinwalkers, the more likely they are to show up, especially if you're on their home turf. And I was. Not once did I mention them. Okay? Not once did I mention them. And what's funny to me is I remember being out there and enjoying it. It was actually a really beautiful sight, right? All the lights from the city are way further away, and there's just a big, vast plain of nothing. It's gorgeous. So imagine my surprise when I lock up everything. Out of instinct, I'm like, I just got this feeling. And I close my blinds. I lock the doors. I double lock them. There's a way to do that, right? In trucks, there's a way to double lock a door so nothing can open it. You have to tie the seatbelt through the loops of the door. Like the door handle, there's a big loop. It's very thick, right? There's nothing getting around that. You have to loop it around, pull it out as far as you can. So that way it physically cannot be pulled open. If someone can pick those locks, they can't pull the door open because it's physically stuck in place. It's actually a very useful tip to know when you're out and about. There are some places you drive a truck where you just, no matter how much you think you're safe, you're just not. And it's funny that that's kind of what I did that night. I normally didn't do that. That's what I remember. I remember tying the seatbelt through the loop and just thinking, all right, well, I'm going to bed. And I woke up like nothing happened. I remember not having a dream that night. I remember just kind of closing my eyes and opening them. As soon as my alarm went off, I'm like, oh, ready to go. There's something about it, though. Something weird. Just not... The vibes were off. That's it. That's really it. I'm not going to say I saw anything, nor did I hear anything. It's just, unsettling to be on such ancient ground, especially when it's a little cursed, you know? And unwillingly, mind you. Like, at this point, I was like, I literally can't make it to where I'm going without running out of time, right? Because when you're driving far, you're driving over the states, you can only drive 12 hours a day maximum, okay? 12 hours a day maximum. That's the most you could do. And I was reaching my 12th hour, so I had to stop. It's just, damn, dude, you know? You know what I mean? Like, I think about that day, and it didn't seem like any other day. Or rather, it did seem like every other day. Utah's a beautiful state. I love it so much. I want to go back to it. The Great Salt Lake's where I want to visit one day, you know? After it rains, because apparently it fills up a little with water, and it just makes a giant, beautiful, flat plain of salt water. So salty, just... When you're driving past it, your mouth just tastes like a soup. It's so hard to explain. It's lovely, though. That wasn't as scary of a story, I know. But, I don't have many ghost stories. No one really tells ghost stories anymore, you know what I mean? Because a lot of them can be debunked or faked. And it's just kind of annoying that, with the age of AI, we're probably going to see more ghost videos, you know? That sucks. I didn't even think about that. What a varied podcast episode, huh? Yeah, the amount of things that we could talk about that's spooky is one thing. But then you think, everything's been debunked. Except for that one episode. You know the one. I'm kidding, I don't know. Do you know the original creator... Wow, fuck. The original creator of the Bigfoot video from like the 1960s never admitted that it was fake. And since then, it's been passed down from generation to generation. Stories about Bigfoot, right? I don't know why people are so fascinated by it. To this day, I still think it's faked. Just based on the fact that the person recorded it, sure, but why did he have the camera up and everything, right? Like, back then, it was, they were very janky cameras, sure, but I don't know, maybe he was built different, you know? Maybe he was built different, I don't know. I do not know, but, I don't know, a lot of people since try to fake it the exact same way that he caught the camera, and most of them get it pretty close, so I don't know. Just because he didn't admit to it doesn't mean it wasn't faked, you know? Some people take secrets to their grave. I don't know if I've ever seen that. But, what the fuck am I talking about? Oh yeah, the Bigfoot guy. Yeah, it's just the fact that he never admitted it. But, do you think it's real? Do you think it's fake? I don't know. It's not as scary as anything else. It's not as scary at all. It's just fucking Bigfoot. I talk about it like I know the guy, right? Funny. There's so much shit on my desk. I gotta clean it up. This podcast is almost over, but I have a joke for you. Knock, knock. Laugh. Thanks. Anyway. God damn it. Okay, off. Ow. I hit my funny bone on the damn desk. I have an L-shaped desk, and I always forget how close I am to this. This is the first time this has happened on the podcast. It's happened twice. This is the second time. Ow, dude, fuck. That actually hurt. Did it hurt? Nah, I'm fine. Okay. Let's reflect on what we talked about, because this was a varied episode. One, I am not good at ghost stories. Let's face it, I'm terrible, right? Maybe the first one was kind of good, but the rest were like, what the fuck was that? It was more of an anecdote than a story. The first thing that I talked about in this podcast, too, acid rain, no longer have to worry about it. Also, I have some things to mention, and I like this, right? I really do like this. Microplastics. You've noticed that we don't really hear about it a lot anymore. You remember how scared people were about it? Well, that's actually because the study that was done that showed how much microplastics are in our brain was heavily flawed, right? Because apparently there's a test that when testing for microplastics also uses... It gets very inaccurate when human fat is involved, right? Body fat, where sometimes it'll have byproduct that looks like microplastics but is actually not. The human brain is 50% fat, so it was an incredibly flawed test to begin with. Therefore, if you're worried about microplastics in your brain or haven't thought about it in a while, good, because have you noticed that you were all scared about it and all of a sudden you don't give a damn? See? You're fine. And what have I always said on this podcast, right? Not even just on the podcast, on the YouTube channel as well. You're fine. Shit happens, okay? If I seem more casual on the podcast than I do on the YouTube channel, it's because the YouTube channel is heavily edited. That will not go away. It's going to be exactly as is. You know, it's going to continue forever, right? And I guess for the people that are new to the podcast, which I'm waiting to the end to talk about it, just in case, you know, if you actually listen to the entire podcast, I'm saying it at the end to make sure that the true listeners are actually the ones hearing this message. If you listen to the end, first off, thank you, right? Because a lot of new eyes are on the podcast and on the YouTube channel and all the stuff that I've been doing, which I appreciate all of you coming, and I love the amount of subscribers I've been getting. However, you got to understand one thing about me. I will post and pretty much do whatever the fuck I feel like, right? I mean, there's no direction, but that's kind of the point, right? I'm never going to sit here and talk about like YouTube drama. Because listen, the one thing I learned is that YouTube drama is only interesting if you have nothing more important going on in your life. And I'm a grown ass man. I'm not going to sit here and talk about YouTube drama. I do not give a damn, okay? Oh, but she said this. Oh, but he said that. Dude, if it doesn't directly affect me, I do not care. Okay, the world is fucking massive. I'm not going to narrow it down to someone because they're having problems with someone else and all of a sudden it's interesting to you, right? Celebrity gossip, I get it. Okay, it's interesting. Oh, I like them in this movie. You know, that's when it's interesting. Because then it's like, well, they're no longer acting. Now it's like, you know what? I get it. Never mind. Fuck it. I just contradicted myself. I do that a lot. Okay? Live and learn. Live and learn. Okay. We're going to wrap it up to a close. That's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. I will make another episode in 2 weeks. Happy Halloween for those that celebrate. For those that don't, yeah, I get it. Money's expensive. What? Candy's expensive. Fuck. We were looking for good deals for candy. We really couldn't find any. We finally found a decent one, and it's a few days away from Halloween. As of recording, it's the day before, so I've also eaten a lot of Skittles in the past 3 days. I have a problem with Skittles. I didn't even know I'd like them. To be honest, I like them when they're in the small pack. If they're in the big bag, it's too much. I like the small pack. Too much sugar, you know? Too much sugar. Fuck. Okay, I just remembered I forgot to take something today. Not my medication. I don't have that. I drink a tea that every day helps you with brain fog? Yeah. Brain cognition. It's a weird mixture of like ginkgo, green tea, matcha, a bunch of stuff, right? But the point of it is that it's good for you. It's good for your brain. Supposedly, it's good for your brain. I don't know if it is or not. I do notice a difference, to be honest, but I'm not going to promote it for free. The fuck? Hell no, I ain't doing that. Even Magic Mind charged me. Seriously, before Magic Mind gave me a promotion, I had to buy the thing, and then they reimbursed me, which is cool of them, you know? I wish more people would buy Magic Mind. Link in the description. always be selling. Always be selling. No one's bought any in a while. I'm going to be honest. But at the same time, it is what it is. I'm going to make more YouTube channels soon, YouTube videos, right? I have two of them that I'm working on, and one of the videos is still gaining views, like a fuck ton of them, right? It's How a Meme Dies. It's a very simple title. I think that's why people started watching it, but 22,000 views, that's fucking insane. I celebrated at 1,000, okay? But 22,000, that's fucking insane. Hell yeah, thank you guys. And my subscribers are going up. This is a childhood dream come true, I'm not even joking. When I was a kid and I first uploaded a YouTube video, I wasn't even a kid. I was like 18, 17, something like that. When I was around that age, I thought, what if I did YouTube for a living? No, it's not going to happen. But on my minimum, like the least, they say shoot for the stars, right? I'm not shooting for the stars. I'm shooting for fucking the sky. Let's be realistic. I wanted 1,000 subscribers max, you know, I just that would make me happy. That was the goal last year and the year prior for the podcast's YouTube channel, right? This year, I think we're actually going to make it. I'm really fucking excited about that because I was hyping it up. I was thinking, come on, let's get there. And then it stopped. Hype stopped and then it just kind of plateaued. And now it's back up again, which is fucking sick. And I'm pretty sure what helped was all the live streaming I've been doing. I'm not going to say it's the result, but it's definitely gotten my name out more. I think, I don't know. Definitely the meme stuff. I know people like to talk about memes, but they don't like what it's like a college course thing, you know? They like the vibes of, like, someone just talking about it. I guess I could provide that, you know? I would happily be the meme guy, as long as I don't turn into the fucking behind the meme, you know? I don't want to explain memes ad nauseum, make it all boring. I don't want to be that guy. I straight up posted in the comments of that channel, of that video. I posted, if I ever become, like, behind the meme, fucking tell me, okay? If I ever become the new lessons in meme culture, which for some reason people hate a lot, fucking tell me, you know? I want to know that I'm becoming this video guy that no one fucking likes, you know? Like, I love explaining memes to people, but not so in-depth that it ruins the meme itself. If you over-explain a joke, you kill the joke. That's kind of the point of a meme. It's like, when you first get it, It's like, that's the point of the joke. And it's not supposed to be someone explaining it to you. You're supposed to hear the joke and think, I don't get it. And then you slowly piece it together yourself. That's what makes a joke fun. And then when you finally clicks, it's fucking funny as shit sometimes, right? That's my favorite thing about a joke. Sometimes there's some jokes that I haven't gotten in years, right? Like I was a kid when I first heard them, and as an adult, I'm like, oh, I get it. Oh, look at that. We reached the hour. All right, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.